Come on, y'all. Come on, y'all. This is my story. This is my song. Praising my Savior all the day long. Some people are in a bad part of their story where life is hard, life is rough, but you've made up your mind that you're going to bless the Lord at all times. Yes, Lord. Praising my Savior all the day. Not some of the day. Not a part of the day. Not a few minutes of the day, but all the day long. Because it was He who woke us up this morning. It was Him who started us on our way. It was Him who got us here. It was Him who brought you through. It was Him. Sometimes I like them old school hymns. Amen. Blessed assurance. I'm assured that the Lord is always looking out for me. Come and go with me. I'm excited for the word. Let's give God some praise on today. If you're able, stand to your feet. If you're able, stand to your feet and give God praise. We got to get past the point that we need somebody to pump us up to praise God. Because when I think about all that God has done for me, I don't need no music. I don't need no drums. I don't need no church. When I think about what He's done for me, we have to have a spirit of expectation, not a spirit of entertainment, but a spirit of expectation, a spirit of worship. I didn't come here to entertain y'all, and I pray you didn't come to be entertained, but I come to bless His holy name, you know, and I don't know what you come to do, but I've come to praise the Lord on today. Is He worthy? Is He worthy of the praise? Act like you know. Act like you know. Act like you know. Come and go with me to the gospel as recorded by St. Mark. Come and go with me to the gospel as recorded by St. Mark. We're going to be right in the first chapter. We're going to read starting at the 23rd verse. And we're going to go down to about the 34th verse. Mark 1, 23 through 34. I want to first give honor to God, who's the head of my life, to my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, to His Holy Spirit, to the angel of the house, Pastor Mobley Jr., to the deacons, to my brothers and sisters in Christ. There is a word from the Lord on today. Let's give God some praise for our praise and worship team, for our musicians, and the work that they have put in. Just working hard and letting the Lord use them. We thank God for them and their servitude and their obedience and their willingness to let the Lord lead them. Amen. They were short today. We'll pray for Sister Danielle and her family. They had an accident. One of her family members were in an accident. Sister DeVita seeing her brother graduate college on yesterday. Thank God for that. And Chanel just having a vacation with one of her grandparents. They just kicking it. So they didn't make it back, but we thank God. Hopefully, prayerfully, we'll be back at full strength next year. But nonetheless, the Lord used you all on this morning. Amen. 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 Mark chapter 1, verse 23 through 34. If you have it, say amen. 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 If not, you can see it above my head. And there you'll find these words. Now there was a man in the synagogue with an unclean spirit. And he cried out, saying, "Let us alone. what have we to do with you, Jesus of Nazareth? Did you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God. But Jesus rebuked him, saying, "Be quiet and come out of him." And when the unclean spirit had convulsed him and cried out with a loud voice, he came out of him. 27 says, "Then they were all amazed, so that they questioned among themselves, saying, what is this? What new doctrine is this? For with authority he commands even the unclean spirits, and they obey him. And immediately his fame spread throughout all the region around Galilee. Now, as soon as they had come out of the synagogue, they entered the house of Simon and Andrew with James and John. But Simon's wife's mother lay sick with a fever, and they told him about her at once. So he came and took her by the hand and lifted her up, and immediately the fever left her, and she served them. At evening, when the sun had set, they brought to him all who were sick and those who were demon-possessed, and the whole city was gathered together at the door. Then he healed many who were sick with various diseases and cast out many demons. And he did not allow the demons to speak because they knew him. Amen, amen. The grass withers and the flowers fade, but the word of God will stand forever. I want you to stretch your hands up towards heaven. And I want you to repeat after me and say, on today, right now, I just want to say thank you, Jesus. Amen. Dear Heavenly Father, we love you. We bless you. We thank you. We lift up your name, and God, we praise you. We honor you. Lord, we just thank you for being so awesome. We thank you for keeping us. Lord, we want to ask that I decrease so that you may increase. Lord, hide me behind thy cross. Allow me to be accurate and preach your word with might and precision. Lord, allow somebody before they leave today to ask, what must they do to be saved? Allow us to be better Christians when we leave this place than what we were when we awakened on this morning. Forgive us of every sin, thought and manifested. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Let every heart say amen. Amen. You may be seated in his presence. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. It's nothing new or nothing deep, but the Lord had laid it on my heart that we just need to say thank you, Jesus. And although it is a common term, one used by many several times a day, regardless of lifestyle, it's one that can't be taken lightly, because there's a lot of things going on right now to where people are thinking other things besides Jesus. If you pay close attention to your apologetics, you will see some people are constantly thinking the universe. And they will tell you that if you put positive light and stars and vibes into the universe, then the universe will bless you. People are thanking the universe. I'm here to tell you, Christians, that's not biblically accurate. That is anti-Christ and anti-Bible. The universe does not have the power to bless anybody or curse anything. I just want to go ahead and set the record straight. Some people even want to thank the ancestors. The same ancestors that worship Jesus Christ now have the power to bless us. I know somebody's going to be mad at me, and I might take some flack for it. I love all those who have gone before me, my grandparents, my son, and many cousins and friends and family members. But I will never, ever pray to them for them to make a way for me. And when said way is made and said door is open, I will say thank you, Jesus, and not thank my grandma who's in heaven with the Jesus I'm going to be thanking. Amen. I just want to set the record straight that there are people who are thanking everybody but Jesus. some of your biggest, some of the biggest entertainers you follow and look at are atheists and don't believe in God and won't thank Jesus. And if you say thank you, Jesus, and thank you, Lord, some of them are even bold enough to correct you and say it was the universe. Or some people are thanking themselves that they believe they create the outcome and they create their fate and they determine their altitude in life. It's all up to them. Oh, people, or it used to be second knowledge and common thought to just give Jesus thanks. But now you got people, you're working amongst them, they're in your families, they're at your jobs, who won't thank Jesus and don't believe that Jesus is the reason. This text gives an account of Jesus preaching in the synagogue. He's fresh off of the boat. He's fresh from being tempted by Satan. Jesus is beginning his Galilean ministry. And if you go to 21 and 22, it says that Jesus is preaching like one with authority. Like he had been preaching his whole life. Like it says that he wasn't preaching like one of the scribes, but he was in there preaching and teaching. And the Bible says that they were astonished at what Jesus was teaching them. They had been used to some dry lecture, like dry eyes, commercial guy type of sermons and lessons. And so when Jesus came with that fire, that they were mind blown to be in the presence of Jesus Christ, because he was preaching with power and authority. This passage, this account of scripture reminds us, informs us, and lets us know that Jesus has all the power. Amen. He has all the power. And this account lets us know how Jesus can, how he has, and how he will continue to have all power over all things. It also reminds us of how good the Lord has been to us. This passage is an example of what I know and believe that the Lord will have, if he hasn't already, if he's not currently touching our lives, in one of the following areas we're going to discuss. One of the first things we teach our children as they grow up is that when somebody does something nice for you, you just simply say thank you. You want to see people go off. You know, some men get upset when you hold the door for a lady and she doesn't have the common courtesy to say thank you. Well, I'm here that sometimes we're not giving Jesus his due thanks because sometimes we take him for granted. And sometimes we're not giving Jesus thanks because we haven't consulted Jesus about the matter, because sometimes we really don't want his help. Because if we want Jesus' help, we have to dance to the tune of the word. So you see, sometimes we don't want his help, and we'll talk about that. It brings me to my first point. I want to say thank you, Jesus, for dealing with the devil. How many people are glad that you don't have to deal with the devil and that Jesus can handle the devil all on his own? The scripture tells me in Mark 1:23, the A part, that there was a man in their synagogue with the unclean spirit. This is a man possessed by the devil, or you can call him a man with the unclean spirit. Any spirit that is anti-Christ, anti-Bible, anti-love of your brother and sister is an unclean spirit. Any spirit that perpetuates disobedience, rebellion, unforgiveness, hatred is demonic and a representation of satanic activity. People are trying to figure out why I talk to my children till I'm blue in the face and they continue to do whatever I tell them not to do. Newsflash, that is the epitome of confusion. The word tells us, who is the author of confusion? Satan. Yes, you can, as a believer, as a saint, as a seasoned saint, have demonic activity going on in your home amongst your very children.
But this man was possessed solely by an unclean spirit. Jesus didn't send him packing. He allowed him into the church house. He allowed him in. He knew his plight and he knew his problem. And Jesus then and still now has the power over the devil and his demons. And so the man was possessed. And 23b and 24 says, and he cried out saying, let us alone. Leave us alone. Leave us alone. He's talking about him, the demon, and him, the host, in which he had taken possession of. Leave us alone. What have we to do with you? We're not bothering you, Jesus. We don't want no smoke from you. Did you come? No, he said, Jesus of Nazareth, did you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God. Let me pause there. Even the demons, even Satan knows who Jesus is. And not only do they know who he is, but they respect and they understand he has all power. And he immediately humbled himself under the authority of God and said, you know, are you coming to destroy us? And then, check this out, he even acknowledged him as the Holy One. But let me tell you something. In verse 25, Jesus said, but Jesus rebuked him saying, be quiet and come on out of him. Jesus didn't want no praise from no demon. Jesus didn't want the demon giving him no type of praise. He shut him down and he rebuked that and he went on to pull that demon out of that possessed man. We have to quit looking for praise from just anybody. The Bible tells us to beware of flattery lips. Sometimes you need to say, that's okay, I'm just glad that the Lord is pleased. Or, hey, I'm just trying to do what God has called me to do. We have to quit looking for validation and praise from other people. We live in a time now where people are posting anything just to get likes and validation and praise. People are just saying and doing anything to be recognized and acknowledged by the world. I don't know about you, but I don't want any blessings that come from the universe, okay? I don't want any blessings that are coming from the people on social media just because I'm saying things that are anti-Bible and anti-Christ. Some people just say controversial things just to get attention. Women are posting stories and pages full of their flesh and all their private blessings just to get likes. And then complain about the demonic activity that's in the inbox. You can't do both. But the Lord doesn't want praise from the devil. He told that demon to shut his mouth, and in some versions it said to hold your peace. I don't want praise from the devil. I want praise from the delivered. Let me say it again. I don't want praise from the demon. I want praise from the person I'm about to deliver from the hold the demon has on him. I want praise from those who I've set free. The Bible says, let the what? Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. I'm not about to bless you, Satan, but I'm about to set this person free who you have hold of, and I'm going to get glory over the situation because who you had hold of is about to give me my due praise. Jesus, thank you, Jesus, for dealing with the devil. Is there anybody in here who has ever dealt with an unclean spirit or demonic activity? Is there anybody here who there was something in your life that just you couldn't shake it? It wouldn't let you go. You tried to quit drinking, but you heard E&J calling your name from across the highway, or you heard Jack Daniels whispering your name as you drove past the bar. Am I the only one that's ever had a stronghold that wouldn't let go of me? I get it. See how quiet you got on me. Some people have never dealt with nothing. They just been holy their whole little lives. I get it. I get it. But when I read, when I'm gonna go over to Matthew. And when I go over to Matthew, the 8th chapter, and the 28th through the 29th verse, it says, when he had come to the other side, to the country of Gergesenes, there met him two demon-possessed men, coming out of the tombs exceedingly fierce, so that no one could pass that way. And suddenly they cried out, saying, what have we to do with you, Jesus? And these are two different demons. It's a plethora of demons possessing two men. And these demons are saying, again, they don't want no smoke. They said, what have we done to you? We not bothering you. We down here by the tombs, and we not leaving our area. Why? What have we to do with you, Jesus, you Son of God? Have you come here to torment us before the time? Satan knows the end game. Satan knows where he's going to end up. He knows that his time is limited, and the demons do too. They didn't. They start trying to negotiate and make a deal with Jesus. 30 says, now a good way off from them, there was a herd of many swine feeding. So the demons begged him, saying, if you cast us out, permit us to go into the herd of swine. And he said to them, go. So when they had come out, they went into the herd of swine, and suddenly the whole herd of swine ran violently down the steep place into the sea and perished in the water. The demons immediately subjected themselves under the authority of God and started asking that we don't want to be destroyed. Put us over here in these pigs. Put us over here in them. But whatever you do, Lord, don't destroy us. Because they are acknowledging that Jesus has what? All the power. How is it that Satan and his imps can acknowledge it, but we as Christians and believers are so soon to forget that Jesus has all the power? How is it that we forget that the word says, greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world? How is it that we forget that the word says that I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me? How do we always forget that Jesus is with us? How do we not remember that he never sleeps nor slumbers? How do we forget so much? I don't understand how Satan can remember it, but we as God's children forget that Jesus has all power. I don't know how we forget something, so many things, but in these accounts, these two men were possessed by demons, and the Bible referenced them as fierce. Let me break down this little bit here so we can understand the power of Jesus. Now this tells us a couple things. That this man was so, these men were so possessed, and this demon was so strong that nobody would pass their way because they were scared for their very lives. Some of us need to act like everybody else. When we see Satan is busy, we need to go the other way. Okay, but nobody wanted to mess with them. But these demons were so strong and massive that they begged to be placed in a herd of swine. Now, most people would think you got two people, two demons. We just need two pigs, right? That's what we need, is just two pigs. But this tells us that, one, Jesus is dealing with Gentiles. So this is one of the few ministry moments where Jesus is preaching to a non-Jew population. How do I know? Because if Jews was here, we wouldn't be talking about pigs. Amen. Can I get it? Because Jews ain't, they're not raising and rearing pigs for nothing. Not clothes, not bacon, not sausage, pork chops. It won't be no ribs. They not doing nothing that have to do with pigs. So this lets you know that he's in a Gentile community. So these demons are tough, big, and strong. So tough, big, and strong that they beg Jesus not to destroy them. Matthew does not number the pigs. But if you go back to Mark, Matthew just says it was a large herd. But if you go back to Mark, Mark tells you that the number was about 2,000. about 2,000 in this herd of swine, in which when Jesus, and they begged to go into the pigs. Let me tell you how I know Jesus is far more superior than Satan. The demons thought that if they could just leave this host and go into the pigs, at least we can torment somebody. At least we can destroy something, but we don't want to be destroyed ourselves. So before you destroy us, we'll settle for going into the pigs. Now the Lord gave them exactly what they asked for, but what they didn't know is that the pigs, the whole herd, was going to run off of the cliff into the water and drown. That's how I know that Jesus is far more powerful and superior than Jesus than Satan. If they had known that that was going to be the end of their existence, they would have never asked to be cast into the herd of pigs. So that lets you know how strong that stronghold was, that if two demons or the plethora of demons that were in these two men was enough to consume over 2,000 pigs, that's a testament to how strong this stronghold was. And I know when we get to talking about demon, we start to think about The Conjuring and Conjuring 2 and 3, and we start to think about the exorcism of Emily Rose, and we start to think about the exorcist, you know, where the girl's head spent around, and I'm not going there, but some of the strongholds that we have in our life are equivalent to all these demons that hopped into those pigs, and that's how strong they are, and we can't break loose. Let me break it on down. That's Hollywood I'm talking about there. But I want to come back to our life. I'm talking about that drinking demon that binds us, that didn't allow us to put down the bottle. Some of us battled a drug demon that we like to stay high, and we smoke the ooh-wee, the icky tobacco, the wacky tobacco, and the loud. I was people. I'm talking about that demon that kept us hooked on pornography and adultery and all those things that we can't break a loose from. Jesus has the power over all that. See, I'm talking about the demon that impedes you, that makes you want to continue to fornicate. I'm talking about that demon that makes you want to keep lying and not do the things that God wants you to do. Those are unclean spirits. Those are spirits that don't represent the lights of Jesus Christ. Jesus has the power over sin. He has the power over every unclean spirit. Jesus is the answer to whatever it is that you're dealing with. Jesus is the answer. And I see you're a little quiet here. Is there anybody here that Jesus has set you free from something that you couldn't break loose from? Is there some things in your life that you know, had it not been for Jesus showing up in your life, you still be high right now? How many people used to come to church under the influence? How many people have been in the house of God and your breath still smell like last night? Am I the only one that, had it not been for Jesus on my side, I know I'd be dead, I'd be addicted to some things, I'd be high out of my mind, I wouldn't know my name if it had not been for Jesus. I just want to say thank you, Jesus. I just want to say thank you for keeping me. I just want to say thank you for delivering me. I just want to say thank you for loving me. I just want to say thank you. I just want to say thank you. My second point is thank you, Jesus, for dealing with the disruptions. Thank you, Jesus, for dealing with the disruptions. Now, as soon as they had come out of the synagogue, they entered the house of Simon and Andrew with James and John. But Simon's wife's mother lay sick with a fever. They told him about her at once, so he came and took her by the hand and lifted her up, and immediately the fever left her. And she served them. Your version may say that she ministered to them. Church, we are dealing with distractions every day. And if the Lord, if Jesus can deal with the demons, he cares about us enough to care and handle these small disruptions that get us off track. We are dealing with distractions every day. Some of us can't sleep because of this. We can't focus at work because of that. Some of us are dealing with headaches and migraines and nagging coughs and post-nasal drips. But we have to remember that there is nothing too big for God. There is nothing too small for him. If it's nerve-wracking and irritating to you and it's holding us back from doing God's will, it is important to God. I'm trying to tell you, no matter how small the disruption appears, it matters to your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. If he can deal with the demons, then he can deal with the fever. If it concerns us, it concerns him. I'm glad about that. Matthew 6:26 says, look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap, nor gather into the barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? If the Lord is feeding the birds, and I've never seen a bird that died from starvation. I've never seen it. They may get hit by a car. They might fly into the window. They may do a lot of things, but the birds always find something to eat. So we are more value of than the birds are. That's Luke 12:7. The man, so let me read Luke 12:7 too. Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. We read that. And then it says that the very, Luke 12:7 tells us that the very hair on your head are numbered. The Lord cares about how many hairs you have or no longer have on your head. Let me clarify. Ladies, when you go to the Africans and they take your braids out and they remove accidentally your real hair, the Lord starts count again. Fellas, when you get your hair cut or you lose a few on the pillow, the Lord knows the very number of hair on your head. The Lord cares. I'm gonna switch this. The Lord cares for you. We want the faith, and I want you to listen to this, and don't get mad at me. He loves you and he cares. The Lord will minimize and terminate the disruptions in your life. God will handle the hindrances in your kids' life, but we have to be ministry minded. Listen, this is what I want you to take with you. We want the favor of God, but we don't want to do the labor for God. Let me say it again. We want the favor of God, but we don't want to do the labor of God. We want God to take away all the distractions and all the disruptions and all the demonic attacks so we can flourish in the things that we want to do in the universe. But God said that I will remove the distractions. I'll take care of the disruptions. I'll take care of the demonic attacks, but I'm doing it so you can better serve me. Mama was on the couch with a fever, and Jesus came in and grabbed her hand and lifted her up. And the Bible said that the fever left immediately, and she got up and ministered to them. That means after the Lord gave her back her strength, she didn't just say thank you, Jesus. She repaid Jesus with servitude. Some of us want the favor, but we don't want the labor. We want to take trips and vacation and do all that, and that's okay. But don't forget about God's business. We're not here to vacation. We're here to have victory over the devil. The Bible says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Sometimes we can't get ahead in the secular world because we're behind in the spiritual one. When we start taking care of God's business, he gonna bless our business. Some of us have to stay distracted so we can stay dedicated to having a relationship with God. If God elevated some of us too high, the Lord would never hear from us. Some of us need that thorn so we can stay close to Jesus Christ. My next point, Lord, thank you. Thank you for dealing with diseases. And I'm about to close. Thank you for dealing with diseases. Mark 1:23-24 says that at evening, when the sun had set, they brought to him all who were sick and those who were demon possessed. And the whole city, not part of the city, but the whole city was gathered together at the door. Then he healed many people who were sick with various diseases and cast out many demons, and he did not allow the demons to speak because they knew him. Real quick, let me go back to the pigs, and we're going to tie this up and go home. Do you know that when he cast those demons into the 2,000 pigs, do you know that the herd keepers were mad? They went back and told everybody else what Jesus had done. He had set these two men free, gave them back their lives, gave them back their relationships. And do you know that the herdsmen went back, told the townsmen and everybody else what Jesus had done, and they were mad? And do you know the word says they begged Jesus to leave the region? Let me tell you, some people don't want to see you get delivered. Some people don't want to see you be healed. Some people want you to stay in the very bottom of the barrel that they in. These people didn't care that Jesus had set them free. They was mad because they missed their money. They were mad because they lost livelihood over the 2,000 pigs. But these people down here in Mark, when they heard about what Jesus was doing and when they heard about the power that he had, they gathered outside the house of Simon, and the whole city was there. Which one are you going to be? Are you going to be the one that don't want Jesus' help because it's going to cramp your style? Because you might lose some money, because you might lose some earthly status? Or you going to be the one that says that, Lord, I will serve you all the days of my life. Lord, if you just do this for me, I'm going to serve you. Lord, if you just heal my body, God, I promise that I'm going to use it to serve you all the days of my life. The Bible says that Jesus healed many sick people. Go with me. I have to explain this. He healed many sick people, meaning that he didn't heal all the sick people, but it means that he healed many, because the word said that the whole city was outside the door. Us as Christians, we get real cliche sometimes. I know that's not a word. You don't have to look it up. It's not a word. But we like to use a lot of cliches, and we tie it in the scripture. And when people get sick, we quick to say, by his stripes we are healed. And I'm not saying that we not. But sometimes it's not God's will to heal everybody in that moment. We misinterpret the word sometimes because it fits our situation. It does not mean that God will rid us of every disease, every sickness, every plight, or every problem. Some sickness comes because of lifestyle. Sometimes your kidneys fail or your liver fail because we drink too much. Sometimes your lungs don't work like everybody else because we smoke too much. Sometimes we got to fight diabetes because we eat too much. Some stuff comes because of lifestyle. But then some sickness comes so God can get the glory over our afflictions and through our lives. What are you talking about, Trey? Paul asked the Lord to remove the thorn from his side, not once, not twice, but three times. The Bible said it was a messenger from Satan to buffet him. And the Lord finally came back and said, Paul, my grace is sufficient. And what I'm trying to tell somebody, that even though the Lord may choose not to move your affliction, I promise you right now that he will give you the power to make it through the valley of the shadow of death. I'm not saying that he's going to heal everybody right then and here and now, but God will give you the power to get through whatever you're going through, because the Bible says, as thy days are, so shall your strength be. Some of us have to not only, you may not be sick, but you may have to care for somebody who's sick. You might be carrying the burden of a loved one whose health is not what it once was. And I'm trying to tell you right now not to grow weary in well-doing, because God is with you. And even though you're still in the disease, Jesus has victory over diseases. And I found the shout in the scripture, and the word is telling me that now, even if God doesn't give us victory in this life, come on, this is where you find the shout. Even if the Lord doesn't deliver you from your stronghold in this life, if he chooses not to move the affliction in this life, the Bible has a word for that. In Romans 8:28, it says, and we know. See, some of us are going to have to deal with some things. Some of us are on medication right now that you're going to have to take for the rest of your life. Some of us got to take MS medication. Some of us got to take RA medication. Some of us got to take blood pressure medication. Some of us got to take blood flow medication. But God is going to give you the strength to live your life for his glory in the midst of whatever you're going through. And it tells me that, and we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to his purpose. The word has another word for if the Lord decides not to heal you in this life. 2 Corinthians 5:1 says, for we know. Come on, this is the shout in the scripture, because some of us been dealing with stuff for a long, long time. I thought I was going to be set free, but Lord, I relapsed and went back from it. The doctor said I was going to be healed, but it hasn't happened yet. Some of us have been dealing with some things for a long, long time. And the Bible says, for we know that if our earthly house, this tent, is destroyed, we have a building from God. A house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. If you can't shout for that, I don't know what to tell you. But I want to thank you, Jesus, for dealing with my affliction on this side. I understand that I have to suffer a little while. I understand that the rain falls on the just and the unjust alike. But I want to say thank you, Lord, that it's working for my good. I want to say thank you, Lord, for every trial. I want to say thank you, Lord, for every tribulation, because I count it all joy. Thank you, Jesus, that weeping may endure for a night, but joy, it comes in the morning. Thank you, Jesus, for never sleeping. Thank you, Jesus, for never slumbering. Thank you, Jesus, for never leaving me. Thank you, Jesus, for never forsaking me. Thank you, Jesus, that nothing, I mean nothing, can separate me from your love. I say thank you, Jesus. Say thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for keeping me in my right mind. Thank you, Jesus, for waking me up this morning. Thank you, Jesus, for keeping my family safe. Thank you, Jesus, for saving me. I'm reminded in Psalms 23 that the Lord is my shepherd, and I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the path of righteousness, and he does it for his name's sake. He wants the glory through your situation. He wants the glory through your disease. He wants the glory through your plight. And somebody's going through some things. The word says that yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death,
I will fear no evil. Why? Because you are with me, and your rod and staff, they comfort me. It's for your glory, and I say thank you, Jesus. I say thank you for what you've done, and I say thank you for what you're going to do. I say thank you. I say thank you. I thank you that you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. I say thank you that you anointed my head with oil. Thank you that my cup runs over. I know things seem tough right now, but your cup is going to run over. I know your bank account may be empty, but your cup may run over. I know the doctor said they can't do nothing else, but your cup. And when don't nobody else got your back, when you turn around and nobody's behind you, the Bible says surely, surely, come on, say it with me, surely, goodness and mercy, mercy and goodness shall follow me all the days of my life. And I like this, it says, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And the only way I can dwell in the house of the Lord forever is I gotta say thank you, Jesus, for defeating death. Thank you, Jesus, for coming down from heaven. Thank you, Jesus, for living a sinless life. Thank you, Jesus, for dealing with the devil. Thank you, Jesus, for dealing with disruptions. Thank you, Jesus, for dealing with diseases. Thank you, Jesus, for dealing with death. Because one Friday, he came down and he hung on a rugged cross. I thank you, Jesus, for dying on the cross. I thank you, Jesus, that you got up early. Didn't he get up? Didn't he get up? Thank you for getting up early Sunday morning. And because he got up, I thank you because you're going to prepare a place for me, that where I am, that where you are, that we can be also. Thank you for making a way out of no way. Thank you for giving me the strength to endure. Thank you for healing my body. Thank you for no more sickness. Thank you for no more pain. Thank you for no more beef. Thank you for no more demonic attacks. When I see Jesus, when I see Jesus, I'm just so excited, y'all. I'm just so excited. Brother Hawkins said that tragedies are commonplace. All kinds of diseases. People are slipping away. The economy's down. People don't get enough pay. But as for me, all I can say, stand up and stretch your hands towards heaven. But as for me, all I can say is thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for all you've done for me. It could have been me. It could have been me. Outdoors with no food and no clothes. All left alone with no friend. Or just another number with a tragic end. But check this out. I thank you because you didn't see fit to let none of those things be. Every day by your power, because he had all power in heaven and earth in his hands, that you keep on, you keep on, you keep on, you keep on keeping me. I just want to say thank you, Lord. I just want to say thank you, Lord. Go ahead and give God some praise. I just want to say thank you. Go ahead and give God thanks. Go ahead and give God thanks. Because he's worthy. And he has all the power. He has all the power. Some of us may feel alone, but God is with you.
I remember the songwriter says, I come to the garden alone while the dew is still on the roses. And the voice I hear falling on my ear, the Son of God discloses. And the writer said, and he walks with me. How many people glad God's walking with you? And he talks with me. And I know who my earthly father is, but this song says, and he tells me that I am his own. And the joy that we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known. I thank you, Jesus. I thank you for what you've done, and I thank you for what you're doing. And God, I thank you for what you're about to do. Jesus, I say thank you. I'm thankful that the things that used to control me no longer have authority in my life. And the things that I'm still struggling with, Jesus, I know you will deliver me. Celebrate it. If you know you need Jesus to deliver you from some things, give him praise right now and thank him for what he's going to do. And if he sees fit not to deliver you in this life, there's a mansion in heaven. There's a place where the streets are paved with gold. That if you don't win it in this life, on that getting up morning, there's no more dementia up there. There's no more mental illness up there. There's no more bad hearts and bad backs and bad knees. It's Sunday every day up there. You got some loved ones you're missing? Are they up there? If they know Jesus Christ. We got work to do, church. And it starts with saying, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Let the world hear you say, thank you, Jesus. And not only with your mouth, but with your actions, with your service. As Sister Ina comes, we're going to get ready to open up the doors of the church. And if you can't thank